from NPR News in Washington. This is New Hampshire and Beyond, a special podcast on the Republican presidential race. I'm Giles Snyder.
Thank you, New Hampshire. Tonight we made history.
Mitt Romney speaking in Manchester last night after easily outpacing his rivals in the New Hampshire GOP primary. But second place finisher Ron Paul is not giving up.
We have had a victory for the cause of liberty tonight.
And it appears that neither are any of the other candidates, including third place finisher John Huntsman, who pinned his hopes on New Hampshire.
And here we sit tonight, ladies and gentlemen, with a ticket to ride and to move on. Here we go to South Carolina.
In this special podcast, we'll wrap up events in New Hampshire and look ahead to the next contest in South Carolina. This is New Hampshire and Beyond. I'm Giles Snyder. Mitt Romney's win in New Hampshire was expected. The only real question was by how much. Romney needed to win convincingly to bolster his argument that he is best positioned to defeat President Obama. Anything less than a big win could have made him look vulnerable.
Tonight we celebrate. Tomorrow we go back to work.
Now with a convincing double-digit victory in his pocket after last week's virtual tie with Rick Santorum in the Iowa caucuses, if Romney was not the man to beat for the Republican presidential nomination, he is now. Ron Paul came in second, and John Huntsman, who skipped Iowa in hopes that New Hampshire would give him the momentum to keep campaigning, came in third. Santorum and Newt Gingrich trailed the field. Rick Perry, not much of a factor. He's been focusing on South Carolina after a dismal Iowa finish. NPR's Ari Shapiro was at Romney's headquarters in Manchester last night and reports that the campaign has spent years laying the groundwork for this victory.
Until the actual voting started, this nominating race was one of the most chaotic in recent memory. As Dan Yerington put it just after casting his vote for Ron Paul,
all these other candidates that are like angry birds, as I describe them, they just go up and then down and up and down.
Michelle Bachmann, Rick Perry, Herman Cain, Newt Gingrich, and Rick Santorum each had a moment in the sun. Yet the strange thing is, after all those angry birds flying and crashing, the actual voting results were more definitive and consistent than they have ever been. As Romney put it in his victory speech,
"Tonight we made history."
Mitt Romney is the first non-incumbent Republican ever to have won both Iowa and New Hampshire. He was helped to victory by people like Deb Sklar, who cast her vote yesterday in Bedford.
"I'm an independent. But I voted for him because I think he's moderate, because I think his positions are thought out."
Half the votes in New Hampshire's primary yesterday came from people describing themselves as independent. That means only half came from Republicans. Mitt Romney has always done well with moderate voters. He was also helped along by voters' familiarity with him here. As Romney reminded people last night, his family has been coming to New Hampshire for decades.
"And I have made a home here. We filled it with great memories of our children, our grandchildren. The Granite State moment we've just enjoyed is one we will always remember."
The Romney campaign worked hard to cultivate an air of inevitability that their candidate will be the presidential nominee. These results in New Hampshire go a long way toward securing that outcome, particularly since Romney had been stuck at around 25% in polls for the last year. And last night, he broke through that ceiling by double digits. The campaign has built the infrastructure and raised the money to go the distance through one primary state after another, if that's what it takes. In an email to reporters last night, Romney said, "I've long said this election will be a marathon, not a sprint." But Mitt Romney was leading in South Carolina polls even before he won New Hampshire, and the campaign would just as soon save its resources for the general election fight that's just a few months off. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Manchester.
While Romney's victory in New Hampshire establishes him as the unquestioned frontrunner, his rivals, most of whom have had their moments in the spotlight at one time or another, are facing tough questions about their campaigns. Even so, they all sounded ready to move on to South Carolina's primary a week from Saturday. NPR's Don Gagne has this sampling from the primary night parties.
This race was not close, but even while finishing in second place, 16 points back, Congressman Ron Paul made his concession speech sound like a victory party.
"There was one other acknowledgement I wanted to make. I wanted to thank the union leader for not endorsing me."
The union leader is the conservative Manchester newspaper that was once a kingmaker. This time around, it endorsed Newt Gingrich, who got 9% of the vote. But Ron Paul did well here, largely on the strength of voters who do not consider themselves Republican. In fact, yesterday's contest can barely be called a Republican primary. Nearly half of those voting describe themselves as independents. Ron Paul has yet to demonstrate that his libertarian message will sell to equally large numbers of Republicans. Still, he could be in the race to the end as a spokesman for a cause.
But there was another victory tonight. He had a victory, but we have had a victory for the cause of liberty tonight.
In third place was former Utah Governor John Huntsman, considered the most moderate candidate in the field. He skipped Iowa and put all of his chips on New Hampshire. He got 17% of the vote for a respectable but not really close third place. It's hard to see where Huntsman does that well again, especially in the South where the candidates head next. Still, Huntsman says third place is a ticket to stay in the game.
And here we sit tonight, ladies and gentlemen, with a ticket to ride and to move on. Here we go to South Carolina. Thank you all so very much.
After Huntsman, two other candidates fought hard for what turned out to be fourth place. Former U.S. House Speaker Newt Gingrich won that fight, barely edging out former U.S. Senator Rick Santorum. Last month, Gingrich looked like a frontrunner before TV ads funded by a PAC that supports Mitt Romney took him down a few pegs. Last night, Gingrich was subdued in his remarks, still claiming to be the only candidate who could stand up to President Obama.
I believe that it will take someone who is capable of debating Barack Obama face to face, delivering the conservative message, winning the argument in order to overcome his billion-dollar machine.
As for the guy who was the big story last week, Rick Santorum barely made it into the story this week. A week ago, Santorum began his caucus night speech by stating boldly, "Game on," and saying his message was not just for Iowa and its large number of conservative Christian voters. He said it would play in New Hampshire as well. Last night,
we wanted to respect the process here. We wanted to respect the fact that we were going to campaign in every single state, states that, you know, were good for us and states that may be a little tougher.
Santorum and the other Romney rivals now continue on to South Carolina, a conservative southern state where each of these survivors says he'll be the one who overtakes the man who's done all the winning so far. Don Gagne, NPR News, Manchester.
Joining us again this week is Michael Dimmick, the Associate Director of the Pew Research Center. And Michael, were there any surprises last night?
Not really. Mitt Romney did well in a state that was close to home for him and a state where the electorate tipped a bit in his advantage, a more moderate segment of the Republican Party in New Hampshire. Fewer of the strong conservatives and evangelicals that have been a problem for him nationwide and were a problem for him last week in Iowa.
Mm-hmm. One of the big fears about Mitt Romney is his ability to expand his base. Was he able to do that in New Hampshire?
Well, he certainly did better among the groups that have been trouble spots for him. He held his own among white evangelical voters. He held his own among the strong conservatives. He held his own among the Tea Party voters. All of those groups split their vote largely between Romney and Santorum and Gingrich, the more conservative candidates at least perceived to be in the race. So the fact that he ran even with them was a good thing for him. But this is still New Hampshire. Even the strong conservatives in New Hampshire aren't quite the same as the strong conservatives in a place like South Carolina or Iowa or other parts of the country.
And, of course, New Hampshire is Romney's backyard.
Right. And that's always an advantage. There's a proximity. There's a level of trust and connection that people have with somebody that they're just familiar with.
What about last-minute voters, voters who made their decision right up until the last minute?
Yeah. As a testament to how back and forth this race has been, nearly half of the voters in New Hampshire said they made up their minds within the last 3 days. That's about the same as we saw in Iowa and more than we've seen in previous primaries in New Hampshire. They broke somewhat for Huntsman and Santorum. Both of them seem to pick up a fair amount of late support, and that is reflected in what we saw in some of the late pre-election polls. But Romney did okay among those late deciders. For every late decider that went for Huntsman or Santorum, another one broke for Romney late in the game. So he picked up support all the way up into the last day, despite having a rough patch in the campaign trail in those late days.
Ron Paul coming in a strong second, and he's bringing in, younger voters?
Yeah, a strong second and a stronger showing than he had 4 years ago, just as was the case in Iowa. He's bringing in the young vote. He gets half the support of voters under age 30. It was the same in Iowa. It's the same here. Half of the young voters that come out are coming out for Ron Paul, and a lot of them are first-time voters in primaries. There's a lot of energy and engagement there. When you hear the sound in the background from that Ron Paul room, you get a sense of that intensity.
Romney's victory last night and his win in Iowa seem to cement what his campaign is trying to project, the inevitability of his nomination. A third win in South Carolina would only add to that. NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving says Romney is a stronger candidate than he was in 2008 when he lost in New Hampshire to John McCain.
Not only is he free of the competition of John McCain, who had assets Mitt Romney could never match as a national war hero, but also, he has learned how to organize a campaign, how to find the right lane to run in, how to proportion his various commitments of time and money. He is by far and away the most accomplished and experienced and seasoned campaigner of all of these Republicans.
Romney leads in the polls heading into the primary in South Carolina 10 days from now, but receiving support from voters in the first contest in the South will likely be more of a challenge for him, and his rivals are not yet willing to just hand him the GOP crown. Former Pennsylvania Governor and Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge backs John Huntsman. He says the former ambassador to China is more well-rounded and would make a better executive than Romney for a number of reasons.
The reason I support John Huntsman, of all the candidates, the Republican Party is kind of looking for a consistent conservative. There are no epiphanies in John Huntsman's background. They're looking for a candidate that has executive experience. Both he and Governor Romney have been governors. One governor led the country in growth. The other governor was 47th. That's John Huntsman led it in growth. They both have economic plans. The Wall Street Journal said, and it's Wall Street Journal, not my words, not the governor's words, said Governor Romney's plan was somewhat timid, but they thought Governor Huntsman's plan was the best. And I think the other very important element when it comes to both electability and presidential responsibility is that the foreign policy experience that Governor Huntsman has and the mindset he brings to the issues of military spending and where the real threats as well as the opportunities are in the world, he dwarfs every other candidate. So I know that a lot of people are saying it that Mitt missed smoke. It was an opportunity for everybody to talk about. Governor Huntsman would rather fire President Obama, and I think that we'll stay with that.
Huntsman finished in third place despite campaigning intensively in New Hampshire. He won't be able to spend that much time in any other primary state, and it's not clear which one will be more receptive to his candidacy. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich has been hoping that South Carolina will give his candidacy a boost. He told supporters last night that New Hampshire was step two of a long process.
We have an opportunity, I think, to unify the country around a message of jobs, economic growth, and very dramatic programs. That opportunity is to reach out to everybody of every background who would rather have paychecks than food stamps, to convince them that what Ronald Reagan did in the 1980s in creating millions of new jobs, what we did when I was Speaker in the 1990s in creating millions of new jobs, can be done again. This campaign is going to go on to South Carolina.
Gingrich finished in fourth place in New Hampshire, just ahead of Rick Santorum, who made such a stir in Iowa last week.
We have a message that can appeal not just in South Carolina, but across this nation, and in particular in the states that are necessary for us to win this election. In the states that are the swing states, like Pennsylvania and Ohio and Indiana and Michigan.
Santorum came within a whisker of beating Mitt Romney in Iowa. He didn't come close in New Hampshire. However, Santorum is running as a cultural conservative, and South Carolina has a large block of evangelical voters. Chad Conley is the chairman of South Carolina's Republican Party. Mitt Romney may have a head of steam coming out of New Hampshire, but Conley says South Carolina won't be a walk for him.
You know, I look at the polls, and I've watched this thing for all of my adult life, and I got to tell you, I think that our voters are particular in that we've got a good blend of the Republican base, and when our folks go out to these events, the questions that are raised, they're going to get asked in these small venues, and they're going to expect people to answer them. So I think what's going to happen here is the winner's going to come from whoever comes, connects with our voters, gets to know them, and makes the best impression, and then develops that buzz out in the communities that carries them to victory. So I'm not too much on today's polls and yesterday's snapshot. There's no question Governor Romney's done a great job, and he's got an incredible campaign going. But I believe this is totally up in the air, and it's based on who does the best here in the next 11 days.
Conley likens his state's primary to a backyard brawl. South Carolina primaries have a reputation for getting nasty. TV ads are already on the air, and a super PAC supporting Gingrich has a lot of money to spend. The Pew Research Center's Michael Demick says New Hampshire and South Carolina are two very different states.
I think you can draw some conclusions, though. Any time a candidate wins back-to-back primaries, even if one of them was a close race, it was a win. That bodes well. I mean, there are voters out there, and I think it's simplistic to say they're just jumping on the bandwagon. There are voters who their considered vote is to want to see some consolidation and some conclusion to this GOP primary. And so there may be some people who have been on the fence up to this point just say, you know, I want this to be over with. And Romney may pick up some of that in South Carolina. But it is not a strong state for him. His campaign has admitted that from the start. It'll be a hard state for him to really win. But we'll see if he can really pick up that momentum.
And he is heading into that state, being the first non-incumbent Republican to win both Iowa and New Hampshire.
Right. And, you know, the thing is the folks who aren't voting for him really just still aren't enthusiastic. You know, they want to, I think, feel the kind of passion for a candidate that Democrats got to experience in 2008 and that even Republicans felt in 2000 when George W. Bush was running. There was a lot of enthusiasm and excitement that he was going to really grab the reins of the party and do something. Romney isn't inspiring that in the among his followers. So despite the anger at Obama that many of these Republicans feel, they're not still feeling the level of inspiration and passion that they would like to feel. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're settling. I mean, Mitt Romney really does represent a lot of their views, but he doesn't inspire in the way that they want. And so you get the sense that some of them still want to see somebody really catch fire.
Well, I guess we'll see January 21st then.
Yep.
Michael Demick of the Pew Research Center, thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is New Hampshire and Beyond, a special podcast on the race for the Republican presidential nomination. It was produced for NPR News by Elaine Heinzman. I'm Giles Snyder.